All right. I just wanted to first of all say thanks for the opportunity to present a lesson. I know I've learned a lot helping getting things prepared, so hopefully I can share with you some of what I've learned. And I know several people have asked me what I was going to talk about, and for some reason when people ask me that, I always think like I don't quite know what to say or quite know exactly what's a good title for the lesson or something like that. So I was telling people that it was light, which is definitely true. That's what it's talking about. But there's some specific things that I wanted to talk about. And when I was trying to come up with a topic, I was thinking, you know, this month we were supposed to have lessons about evangelism. And so I thought, well, let's see if I can come up with something along those lines. And I might have stretched it a little bit, but hopefully you can kind of see some ties there. About light, why is the topic of light important? Several reasons are fairly obvious, like just in general everyday life, because we have lights all around us almost all the time. Like we have so many artificial lights here, or we have headlights on our cars so that we can drive at night and know where we're going. We have street lights so that we can see outside at night, and all these different kinds of lights that show us how things are. And that's another important part of light, is it shows us the truth about things. It's hard to imagine something before you've seen it, and being able to see something can really show you what that thing is like. And then along those same lines, you want to have light so that you know where you're going and you can see what's around you, so you don't run into things or bump into things, knock things over, or anything like that. So light is important so that we can see where we're going. And then there's some other things about light that I think are important. There's the popular equation like E equals mc squared, where c is a constant, the speed of light. And so it's important, I think, that the idea that light is a constant. So from any perspective and from any way you look at it, light is always the same. And it's always going the same speed. And it's just something that you can count on. It's a constant in science. And I think it's another important thing to keep in mind about light. And then another very important thing about light is it's a very common comparison to many different topics in the Bible. We talk about light when comparing several things about like God or about things that are good being in the light and things like that. So I think that we can draw several important comparisons between some things we notice about light in the real world and some ways that light is used in the Bible. So I wanted to look into a few specific questions, especially the main passage that I looked for a lot of the inspiration of this lesson was from Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 14, going through verse 16. And that reads, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And so I think this is a pretty popular passage overall. Most of us have heard it several times. And I think there are some very obvious interpretations that most people get out of it. And some of those would be something like, you should live a good life and do good things, and don't try and hide your Christianity, but rather let others see your example so that they know you're doing God's will and that they will glorify the Father in heaven, like it says. And I think these are definitely true, and these are good things to get out of the passage. But I also think that if we look into some certain parts of this passage, we can get some more out of it. So a couple questions that I wanted to ask about this passage are, what are some other ways that light is used in the Bible? And can we apply those other ways that light is used in the Bible to being a light of the world? And so what are some comparisons we can draw there? And so one thing I first wanted to look at was what would it mean? Like, why would we want to care about being a light? I mean, obviously, just I read in that passage that you should let your light shine before men, but why should we really care about what light is, or why should we look into that? And so I first wanted to look back at the very beginning at the origin of light and where things came from in the first place. So if we go back to Genesis chapter 1, we read in verses 3 and 4, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And so we see at the very beginning, light was separate from darkness, and that God said it was good. So the light has always been a good thing, and it's been a separate thing from the darkness. And then there are several other passages that we can read about how being a light is saying that you are a follower of God. And one passage that I wanted to point to was John chapter 3, reading verse 21, which says, "But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." So this passage is then saying that if you're doing things that are of God, then you are in the light. So just being in the light is a way of saying that you are following God and doing what he would want you to do. And then there's another important thing about light, which is the Bible says that God is light. And we can read that in 1 John chapter 1, and reading verses 5 through 7. "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin." And so it says in this passage that God is light. And so that's an important thing to consider about being in the light, is you're being with God. And then I think this is also a way that we can apply the idea of light, which we know a lot about in everyday life, to God, because God is constant and he's unchanging. And so this everyday principle shows how it can apply to God the Father, because he's always constant and everywhere and always going to be the same. And then another example was that in John chapter 8, verse 12, we read about how Jesus was a light for men. And this verse reads, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And another verse is John chapter 12, in reading verse 46. "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believes on me should not abide in darkness." And so we can see that God is light, and Jesus was a light for the people. So these are examples of why we want to care about being lights, because God and Jesus, the Father and the Son, are lights for us. And also, I think it's important to note, from these passages, you can kind of see a pattern beginning to develop where there's light and there's darkness, and they're not together. They're different, and there's a dichotomous relationship where you're either in the light or you're in the darkness. And I think that's important, especially as we look at some more examples about being in the light and how that's important. And then as I said earlier, one of the reasons that we use light in everyday life is that we want to be able to tell where we're going so that we don't fall or stumble. And this same idea applies also in a spiritual sense, because we can read in John chapter 11, verses 9 and 10, read, Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walks in the day, he stumbles not, because he sees the light of this world. But if a man walks in the night, he stumbles, because there is no light in him." And so I think here Jesus is kind of drawing the same conclusion, where people can tell, like, you walk around in the day when it's light, so that you don't stumble over things. But there's also that spiritual sense of when you're walking in the light and following God, then you can know where you're going, and you're not going to stumble upon things like sin or temptations that you come across. And there's another example from 1 John. We read in chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. "He that says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knows not where he goes, because that darkness has blinded his eyes." And so this passage isn't saying that if you hate your brother, you're going to go blind and never be going to be able to see. It's saying that the spiritual sense of even if you say you're in the light and do some things that are good, you aren't necessarily in the light. You might be in darkness, and you really don't know where you're going. For the example here of hating your brother. And so I think these examples like this show that the principle is really a very simple one, that light is good, darkness is bad. You follow the word of God and do what he says, and you're fine. Because that's just like all these passages state, that light and darkness are separate, and following God is in the light, not following God is in the darkness. But for some reason, people like to make things more complicated than that. And I think in everyday life, there are examples of people not willing to accept the simplicity of something like that. And I think a lot of people like to try and make shades of gray, where there really are simple ideas like this, that there is black and white. One of the examples of this, this idea of making things complicated where they don't need to be, we can read in John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20 reads, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." And so we see that some people say they're in the light, but really they're in the darkness, because they have something that they're trying to hide, and they have this thing that they want to keep in the darkness, because they're afraid of what's going to happen if it gets found out. They have this secret that they don't want to get out, and so they act like it's not there and try to hide it in the darkness, when really they might know that it's not good. So, but then one thing that's important to note about in a case like this is that God knows anyway. You're not going to be able to hide it from him, even if you think that you're keeping this thing secret. And we can read about that principle in Psalm 90. Verse 8 reads, "Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance." And so, and saying that even though you think that this thing is a secret and you have this secret sin, God knows, because he is light and God can see everywhere. So even if you think that you have this secret thing keeping in the darkness and you're acting like you're in the light, God knows the difference. And I think that's where this idea of being a light of the world is really important to emphasize, because God knows people's iniquities, but if we can be lights to other people and we can show them our example and show them the light of God by the way we live, it can possibly show them how the thing that they're keeping in the darkness really isn't a secret, and that they need to change it. And we can show our light onto the thing that they think is in the darkness, so that it can be in the light too. And I think that's an important thing to note from this idea of being a light of the world, other than just having people see our example, but it can show them how what they're doing isn't right. And another idea about being a light of the world is that we, like God, who is constant and unchanging, need to be constant and unchanging in our faith and in our relationship with God, because everyone knows that there aren't many things more annoying in everyday life than when there's this light flickering in the corner of your eye and you can't keep your attention off of it, because it just keeps bothering you. And it would be easier if it was just off or it was on and you just wouldn't matter. But when it's flickering like that, it's very, very distracting, and you can't focus. And I think this the same sort of principle. When you're an off and on again person, they're not going to learn that, oh, this person is just not doing very well, or is wavering in their faith. These people might think, oh, well, Christianity isn't all it's cracked up to be, because look at this person. They say they're a Christian, but they aren't acting like they should, or like I think they should. And I think we can read about this same principle in Revelation chapter 3, in the letter to the Laodiceans, in verses 15 and 16, which reads, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And I think if you were to replace cold and hot with light and dark, it would keep the same idea, where you want it either one or the other, but when it's in the middle, it's even worse. So that's why we need to be a constant and unwavering light to the world. And then reading again the verse 16 from the first verses I read, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 reads, Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And I just think the end of that verse is important to note as well, where you're not doing these things to be like, oh, look, I'm better than you. Look, I know these things that you don't, so I'm a good person and you're not. But rather, you want to show them the way you're acting is because you're a follower of God, and so that they will glorify the Father and not you. So that's an important attitude to keep in mind, because it can be easy to think, oh, well, I'm doing things right and they're not. So you kind of get a good feeling about that, when really you should be showing them that really you're a follower of God and it's God who deserves the glory. And again, it's just important to realize that God's light is constant and unchanging. And it shows us where we need to be going and how we can get there. And it's God's light that's going to lead to heaven. And without that light guiding us, we're never going to be able to get there. And we're going to stumble. Because if you're not walking in the light, you're not going to be able to make it on your own. And really entering this light and becoming a follower of God isn't any more difficult than just flipping a switch if you make the decision. If you're not following God's word, then you're really stumbling around in a dark world, when there is this light switch that could help you in becoming a follower of God. And really, in everyday life, you're not going to walk around in a dark room, because the first thing you do when you enter a room is flip a switch. And so changing your mind and becoming a follower of God really, really isn't that difficult if you set your mind to it. And so if you're someone who wants to become a follower of God, and do as he says and walk in the light and do commit yourself to that, then this is the time that we've set aside for that. And if you're someone who has been in the light and has stumbled because they have had kept these secrets and they have something that they're trying to keep from God, then if you want to let those be known, if there's any way we can help you, please come forward as we stand and sing the song.